Now I would like to formally welcome Thomas, the new president of Buscar Company.
Hi everyone, how you doing? I'm super hyped today because I'm ready to go mining.
Well, since this is our initial podcast, let's get started with your background, Thomas.
Sure. All right, so I graduated college with a bachelor's degree in geology from the University of Texas in Austin. I then went on later on and picked up a master's degree in applied geography with a focus on environmental and resource management, and then picked up a master's degree in civil engineering from UT with a focus on environmental engineering. When I got finished with my degree from the University of Texas, the bachelor's degree, I went into the mining industry here in Texas, Western U.S. But after a few years, the mining industry basically shut down because of economic issues. I then took a job in Denver in the oil and gas industry. But being in Denver and being enamored with the minerals the way I am, I couldn't stay out of the mountains. So I basically toured and studied the gold mines around Golden, Central City, Idaho Springs, and Points West. After 8 years in Colorado, the oil industry went down tubes because of economic issues. And that's when I got my master's in geography and in civil engineering. When I graduated with my master's degree in civil engineering, I immediately went to work as a consultant to the United States Air Force in their environmental program. At that point, it was a fledgling business, the environmental program at the U.S. Air Force. And so one of my very first projects that I was working on was to write the guidance documents for the whole Air Force on how to fulfill the requirements of the environmental laws they have to work on. While I was working with the Air Force, I got involved with a small group of guys, one of whom I had known for several years, and they had access to 10 claims right at 200 acres in California. In 1999, we incorporated as Treasure Canyon Enterprises, Inc., and pretty much been working with them all along. And then now we've merged with Buscar, and I'm looking forward to be able to go out there and work on those mines.
Thank you. That's quite impressive. And do you want to talk maybe about the background of the mine itself, and so that everyone listening can hear why exactly we're so excited about this new venture?
Yeah. Basically, the Treasure Canyon lode claims were originally found by an old German millwright by the name of Otto Hackbarth back in the 1920s. Otto and people that he hired to help him mine the property from the 1920s up through about the mid-1950s. In the mid-1950s, he's passed away and left the claims to his granddaughter. His granddaughter is a member of the Treasure Canyon Enterprises team, and now Buscar. She's told us a lot of stories about going to the mine with her grandfather, him explaining that he only mined the larger veins that he couldn't cover with his big fat mitt, probably because the smaller veins didn't interest him because there was so much there in the bigger veins. One of the stories she told us that we used to laugh about was how in the 1930s, Otto's family was stuck in Germany while the Nazis were coming to power, and they asked him to send them some money so that they might be able to leave Germany. So in just a very few days, he went into the mine and he pulled out $40,000 worth of gold. That was back when gold was $35 an ounce. And he sent that money over to Germany to help his relatives. After his death in the 1950s, his granddaughter kept the claims current by doing an annual assessment work until about 1998. In 1998, one of the current members of Treasure Canyon Enterprises met her in California, and they struck a deal to allow him and others, ourselves included, to take over the assessment work and keep those claims current.
Wow, that 100-year-old history is quite fascinating. And when did you personally get involved with this project?
Yeah, like I said earlier, I knew one of the guys that was with the group that formed Treasure Canyon. I actually started going out to California in 1999 during the summer. Now, keep in mind, I had a full-time job, and so I'd take my vacation and go up here and work a mine. Mostly, we worked in the creek on the placer deposits. We were getting some decent gold, but being the geologist I am, I would take what time I wasn't in the creek working the placer deposits and wander around looking to see what the geology was. And I identified several potential prospects for hard rock mining. Anyway, we got to work in this old mine called the Ada Drift. The Ada Drift hadn't been mined since the 1930s, and in trying to replace the timbers inside the mine, I noticed that there was an area that was anomalous. And basically, I convinced everyone to let's dig here and dig at 90 degrees to the existing tunnel. Now, it turns out that the more we dug, the better things started looking. There was a definite difference in the rock. The rock above that lower pyritic zone that I had noticed started out with pretty good values of copper. As we dug a little bit further, we had copper and some gold and silver. As we dug a little bit further, we had less copper and more gold and silver. And as we dug a little bit further, at about 32 feet into the tunnel that we dug, we actually had very good gold and silver and very little copper. Well, the main thing about this, though, is that I noticed at the working phase that we had what I would consider a supergene-enriched zone, where the supergene-enriched zone was such that the vein actually weathered from the surface down, and the gold that was in the vein, being heavier than everything else, also percolated down until it hit that area that was not weathered. When we took samples of that, I took samples out of the orange clay layers. And if you're familiar with the website, you've probably seen the pictures of the orange clay layers. Well, the sample that we took out of there came back as from a fire assay with over 29.2 ounces of gold per ton. The amazing part is that we were working on a small cross vein. We hadn't even hit the main vein. We figured we're still at least 15 feet from the main quartz vein.
And now, could you please explain to those with limited mining knowledge like myself what this tells you about the deposit?
Well, the very first thing it tells us is that we proved that there's gold there. There's a good quantity of gold and silver there. Looking at the data we had collected from other work, from the work in this tunnel and other work around the claims, I came up with a theory that I hope we soon prove. And that is that as the hot water that was carrying the material for the Ada vein was placed in a major fracture out there, that the hot water actually percolated into the sidewalls, into the country rock, and had a lot of minerals in them, and especially precipitated out gold and silver all along the sides of the quartz vein. So what I realized was we must have a halo of mineralization around the Ada Bay. And if you have it on one side, you're going to have it on the other. So it exists on both sides of the vein. This is actually proven out quite well by the geophysical data that we collected along the Otto vein, where in places it's upwards of 127 feet wide for the mineralized zone. In addition,
so let me ask you what happened to the material you took out of the tunnel.
Well, that's a good question. When we realized that we had the gold and silver in there, we had contacted a mill in Oregon, and he was willing to take our ore if we could ship a minimum of 100 tons of ore. So using just hand tools, we didn't have any heavy equipment or anything like that. We were able, over a year and a half, to mine about 60 tons of ore sitting on the ground. We stockpiled it right in front of the mine opening. In 2006, unfortunately, we had a forest fire come through, and because our mine support, all of the was all timbered, and basically it burnt all of the timber in the front of the mine and on into the tunnel out. Consequently, it all collapsed.
So what did you do after the fire?
Well, in 2007, after the fire was out and everything was taken care of, we were able to get back up there. And one of the members of Treasure Canyon and I went up there to take a look at what kind of damages we had. Of course, when we saw what happened, we were devastated. We had lost the tunnel. We had lost all our equipment in the tunnel. Heck, we even had a steel door that was warped because of the heat. We wanted to find out what was in that pile and hopefully see if we couldn't do something with it. So we basically went in and we took a rocker box, which is a very small set of riffles that you just put material in and pan it down. We took that rocker box and we shoveled about 200, 250 pounds of material into it. We didn't do any crushing, no grinding, anything like that. We just took the bigger chunks and threw them aside. And after running it for about, 3 hours, we cleaned it out. And we were amazed at the amount of gold we had collected. Maybe many of y'all have seen the green pan with the gold in it with the quarter for scale. Yeah, that all came from the 200, 250 pounds of ore that we processed. And that weighed just right at a half an ounce of gold. So we pretty much knew that we had something. We were trying to find somebody who might purchase it. But had a heavy snowfall that winter, basically because there were no trees or ground cover to hold back the runoff. There was a major flood in Lights Creek, and it washed all of that 60 tons of ore down the creek. So that brings us to today and Buscar Company. We were very fortunate to join with Buscar, which has raised the money needed to get the tunnels cleaned out and go back to mining. We want to go back right away. And in addition, we'll be doing much more exploration work in the near future because we have multiple veins. We want to see what all we have out there.
Thank you, Thomas. That's great information. And can you please go into more detail on the expected scope of work you plan on doing on the claims?
Sure. Well, in basically 2 weeks from tomorrow, we'll be on site on August 15th. We're collecting what's necessary to go out there and basically we're going to go out there to do our annual assessment work. Because we have a small miners waiver, we have to do annual assessment work and turn in the record of that to the BLM to prove that we've actually been out there. What we want to do under the assessment work is basically go in and clean out the old tunnel. It was fairly narrow. With all the timbers burned out, we think we can get a bobcat in there and be able to clean out the material that collapsed. We want to get back to that point where we turned north with the other tunnel and basically go in and see what we have to do to start mining again. What we're going to do is when we get out there, we'll immediately contact MSHA, the Mining Safety and Health Administration, and ask them to come out and do an inspection with us. If they can come out and do an inspection with us, we'll know what their requirements are going to be so we can work to them. We're also planning on having delivered a small mobile, a trailer-mounted mobile sampling mill. That'll allow us to do about 6 to 8 tons of ore a day and assess the recovery of gold from the ore. You know, we'll also be doing grab samples for fire assay. That'll allow us to assess how much free milling gold, that native gold that's in the rock, versus how much of the sulfide-laden gold there is. And given a good assay on those, we'll be able to tell the efficiency of our sampling unit. Now, mostly, we're going to focus on trying to get into that ore body that we pulled the 60 tons out of and assess the width and the breadth of it. Because, like I said, if we've got that halo effect, this thing may follow the vein all the way, and that's what we're hoping. And since we started picking up mineralization about 3 or 4 feet into our other tunnel, do we have mineralization as wide as 30, 40 feet wide around the vein on both sides? So that kind of information is real important. We've turned in a plan of operations to the U.S. Forest Service, and we're hoping that somewhere between the middle of September and the 1st of October, that we'll get approval on phase one. The phase one basically allows us to clean out and widen that tunnel to about 10 feet wide. It'll also allow us to put in the metal support that we need to be able to mine safely. It'll also allow us to mine ore. We can process maybe 6 to 8 tons per day in the little unit, but we can stockpile the ore that we aren't able to process in anticipation that in the early summer of 2021 that we'll actually be able to get the large milling unit out there under the phase two approval. Phase two approval will allow us to build basically a gravity separation milling circuit that will do around 5 tons an hour, upping our ability to well over 30 tons per day. We anticipate, like I said, that we will have that unit up and running as soon as we get approval on that phase two. However, you know, we plan on doing thorough exploration work. We have in the plans and the funds to do a geophysical, a helicopter-based geophysical survey of the claims in the surrounding area. That survey is going to basically help us to find the best areas of mineralization. Based on the data and the interpretation for the data that we get back from the geophysical company, we'll pick locations for core holes that we want to drill in the future. Once we pick the locations for the core hole, we'll probably go ahead and submit a change to the plan of operations while they're continuing to work on the phase two approval and basically get that submitted so we might be able to start doing core drilling on our best targets summer of 2021.
Okay. When you get there on August 15, what are your expectations on the timeline to get the tunnel cleaned out and starting pulling ore from the mine?
Well, like I said, we're going to show up on August 15th. There's four other members of Treasure Canyon that are going out there with me. We believe we can have the original tunnel cleaned out in a couple of weeks. When we get that cleaned out, then we can assess what condition that the side tunnel is in. And what we're hoping is that within a week of that, cleaning out the original tunnel, that we're actually producing ore. Our intent is to have ore stockpiled and ready to go so that when the guy who is the owner of the company builds the sampling mill, that mobile sampling mill, we can get it set up and we'll have ore ready to go and test the mill, make sure it's ready for optimal recovery of gold, silver, and the platinum group metals that we get.
Okay, that sounds excellent. And under the assessment work and plan of operations, how much material can be milled and how much can you pull out of the mine during this phase?
Well, during the assessment work, we're not really limited to how much we produce per day, but you know, as long as it's limited to about 1,000 tons of ore. However, ore production during phase one, when we widen the tunnel, should be about 5 to 10 tons per day. But again, the limitation there is that we can only process about 6 to 8 tons per day. So we'll basically continue producing and processing what we can and then stockpiling the rest through December. Then we're going to start in January on the 2021 assessment work. Might as well, we're already there. We expect that phase two of the plan of operations will be approved by June 2021. And, you know, one of the things is that as we get settled in out there, we've been looking at potentially purchasing a piece of private property. By doing that, we may be able to move our milling operations to that private property and basically not have to worry about phase two approval. We could be milling ore on our own property. Of course, there will be county and state approvals required, but basically we'll get away from doing the environmental impact statements required for the Forest Service approval. Once we get the phase two approval, you know, whether we are still have our milling equipment on site or whether we have it on private property, we want to scale up the mining and the milling process to see if we can't hit about 50 tons of ore a day. Of course, this will include buying more equipment and adding people to payroll, but the funds are there to do it.
Well, you mentioned the sampling mill. When do you expect to get it on site?
Right now, it's already been ordered. We fully expect that it will probably show on site the first or second week of September. So us getting back in there and starting to dig ore out becomes very important so that we have the ore stockpiled for when it shows up.
Okay, and just to make it clear, how does the assessment work differ from the plan of operations?
Well, the assessment work basically allows us to go in and mine the ore and to map the deposit and look at the potential of gold and silver ore being on both sides of the vein and look at the potential in the vein. The plan of operations is really more of the footprint we're going to make. Okay, so we're talking about expanding our operations into a larger milling unit. It's going to make a larger footprint. What we're interested in is we're going to collect several tons of ore from the quartz vein because it's much harder, and I want to basically be able to test it for gold and for the amenability to the milling operation. If it's as tough as it is, we may have to get more equipment to deal with that. But during the assessment work, you know, the material we mine will go to the mobile sampling mill and we'll be processing all along. And that's still going to provide some level of income to the company. Now, phase two of the plant operations, again, that's more about the footprint and adding the large mill. And that will allow us to bring in that larger mill that's capable of doing 5 tons per hour. Or if we run 10 hours a day, that's 50 tons a day.
That's awesome.
So that'll be a major increase in what we're capable of milling each day.
Yeah. Well, this sounds like a lot of work to be completed. And can you please tell everyone what your mining team looks like that will be there on site in August?
Well, we're all a little crazy. No. Actually, you know, all of us that are going out there on August 15th are original members of Treasure Canyon team. We've been working together for over 20 years on this mining property, and we're committed to making this venture work. We include a geologist, myself, an engineer, a full-time miner. Guy actually has been mining most of his life. Let's see, what else? A heavy equipment operator and a carpenter. We're all also stockholders in Buscar Company. You know, so our commitment to the mining effort will benefit everybody. We believe that we will continue to expand our operation on these claims and in the area, and we look forward to long-term growth for the company.
That sounds great. And now, maybe tell us about your long-term vision for the company.
Oh, you had to ask, didn't you? Once we have the large milling equipment on site, we'll focus on expanding production. That's the number one thing. If we're capable of doing 50 tons a day, let's produce 50 tons a day. You know, as I've mentioned before, we have multiple veins on the property. So the increase in production will probably come from starting mining operations on one or more of those other veins also. We'll identify those areas that we're interested in mining by utilizing the geophysical data we come up with and the core data we get. And what we really want to do is find those where we can do it most productively. Of course, by mining those areas of mineralization on the property, that will produce the income. That will produce income for Buscar. You know, so what we do is we produce more, we process more. The more income, we'll generate more income that way. The more we're able to produce and process, we just keep working to optimize the business plan. How much does it cost? How much are we spending to mine there? And are we doing it efficiently? You know, we feel like our future growth is going to be funded by the profits that we make, you know, and we want to use some of those profits to expand the mine. You know, in addition, you know, when we purchase a piece of private property near the mine and get the appropriate clearances, we anticipate putting our milling operation there as a hub for expanding into other mines in the area. Finding a mill that will take custom milling is next to impossible these days. So what we're thinking is that we could actually start milling for other people or be opening other mines and milling at the central hub area. So that's one of the things we're looking at. And, oh, by the way, having that mobile sampling unit, even though it's only capable of doing 6 to 8 tons a day, that's going to be a great benefit to go out and check out the potential for being able to open operations at some of these older abandoned mines.
Thank you. That sounds awesome. So how do you finance everything you have planned?
Well, at this point, we have sufficient capital to begin mining operations and enough for initial expansion. However, you know, we're going to be in a let's see what the assessment work provides mode. So we have a better understanding of the monthly burn rate on the mine and what our recovery rates are. You know, but the goal is that Treasure Canyon operations will basically self-finance the ongoing operations and the planned expansions. So once we get through the first few months of mining operations, we'll have a much better understanding of what our short-term and long-term future look like.
Okay. Well, you mentioned the mobile unit we've seen, but can you please tell everyone listening what the unit can do per day and how big it is?
Yeah. This is not a small system. The trailer it's coming on is a 16-foot trailer. And when I talk about it being trailer mounted, not all of the equipment is actually mounted on the trailer. Two major pieces of it are. That's the jaw crusher, as we all know. You have to use that first to break it up into smaller pieces. Then we have a hammer mill on there to break it up into even smaller pieces. And then we have three more pieces of equipment that tail onto the hammer mill. When the hammer mill's through with it, it'll go into a circular, basically it's a nice little trommel about 8 feet long. And inside are some a helix-based grooves and small knobs that basically will slow down how the heavy material goes through that. Then we have another one on top of that. Both of these units are about 8 feet long, so they'll run in series. So right now, you know, we're at 16 plus feet long for that. And then at the tail end of the process, we'll have a centrifuge that the material coming out of the finisher will go into the centrifuge, and that will clean it up even more. On top of that, we'll also have a smelter where we actually cook down the gold and mineral-laden material that comes out of the centrifuge, and then what that will give us the bars or the buttons that we end up shipping to the refinery.
Okay, and I just wanted to confirm the length and the width of it.
Yeah, overall, we're looking at something on the order of magnitude of about 50 feet long and about 8 feet wide.
Okay, that's great. And now I would like to get to one of the most important and requested questions from the shareholders' perspective. What are we doing with the ore once you pull it out of the ground to generate income for the company?
Right. And that brings up that mobile sampling unit. Like I described, you know, getting the rock out of the mine, that's a process unto itself. But once we get the rock out of the mine, then we've got to feed it through that mobile sampling unit. And basically, like I said, we're crushing it. We're grinding it. Hopefully, what we'll see is mostly powder coming out of that grinder. That then goes into the two trommels in series. And basically the first one is a cleaner, which helps get some of the bigger stuff off. And the second one is a finisher, which helps get some of the smaller rock pieces that we don't want off. And then that goes into the centrifuge, and the centrifuge spins very quickly, driving the gold up into grooves, and then the rock can go on and wash on down. Once we've completed that circuit, we smelt it, and then we take the buttons or the bars off to the refinery. Now, the refinery, they'll smelt that down again. But they're, in their processes, they'll be able to separate the gold from the silver, from the platinum group metals. Before we ship it, we're going to weigh it so I know how big that bar or that button is, how much does it weigh. And then when it gets to the refinery, they'll weigh it again, and then they'll weigh the various components of that bar. You know, so we know how much we had in gold, how much we had in silver, and how much we had in platinum. Basically, once they smelt it again, then they'll settle up with us. Now, when I talk about settling up, usually that settlement is in funds that are wired to our bank based on that day's spot price. So if gold's at $1,964 an ounce, we get paid $1,964 an ounce minus a small percentage for their work to clean it up. But they also are willing to deliver gold bullion to us, meaning they're willing to make bars out of solid gold, 0.9999 fine gold, and hold on to those for us at their facility until we're ready to claim them. So we have delivery in a couple of different ways. Well, now, how do we get that information out to people? We'll be putting the settlement reports on the website so that people can see how much we've been mining and how much we've been recovering.
Thank you for sharing the information about this exciting process. Well, what is your projection when all of this can begin?
Well, like I said, we're going to be out there August 15th. We're going to have a skid steer, a bobcat, delivered to us within 2 days of when we get out there. We anticipate that it will take us just a couple of weeks to clean out the collapsed portion of the old tunnel. And then when we turn the corner onto the tunnel that we dug to the north, I honestly believe that the minute we turn the corner, just to clean it out, we'll start pulling ore out of the mine. So I really anticipate that somewhere shortly after the 1st of September, we'll start pulling ore out. We'll be holding on to that ore, and you know, we'll be waiting for that mobile mill to show up. And when that mill shows up, we'll be able to start actually processing and recovering gold and silver from the ore.
Okay. And well, in order to sum everything up, Thomas, why don't you give us a solid recap of what we've heard today that shareholders can take back with them to understand what your goals are?
Sure. Well, first I want to say that, you know, we feel very fortunate to have worked out the merger with Buscar and to have the funds necessary for us to begin mining the claims. This is the culmination of a 21-year effort on our part to get back to this mine to do it right. We'll be on site on the 15th of August to do our annual assessment work, and we will have a mobile sampling unit with us that we expect to arrive the first or second week of September. So we expect to begin processing ore through the plant early on in September. And so whatever gold and such we get, we'll settle up, and that will be the revenue for the company. And speaking of that income, one of the things that I like about Plumas County is there's a lot of opportunity there. There have been some very, very big mines. There's a couple of mines that surround us were copper mines. And, you know, some that we even have 43-101 information on, being that they've been studied so heavily. But there's a lot of small, older gold mines out there that are marked as abandoned. We're interested in picking some of these up and adding them to our portfolio. You know, and it wouldn't be that hard to do it. All we'd have to do is basically scale up our mining and milling operations. You know, and by scaling it proportionately, that's how we're going to go from 10 tons a day to 200 tons to 300 tons and even 500 tons a day. You know, as we mentioned in the milestones that are posted on the website. So we're going to leverage our production. We're going to leverage the scalability of the milling plant to achieve these milestones. And as we scale up operations, of course, we're going to scale up revenue. You know, and that's the focus of our efforts, you know, generate revenue.
That's right. Well, I would like to thank everyone who was able to join us today and listen to our conversation. And of course, Thomas, thank you for your time today, as I know you're super busy getting ready to leave for the mine. And I'm sure we'll all appreciate the detailed information that you have shared with us today. And I feel very comfortable passing the torch of the company from myself to you and your team. And I'm very excited about the future of Buscar and this transition in general.
Oh, that's great. Thank you very much. You know, thanks for your time. I just want to tell everybody that a recording of this podcast will be available on the company's website. That's www.buscarcompany.com. So just look at the podcast button at the top of the page.
Thank you, and bye-bye.
Take care. Talk to you later.